Hello and welcome to broadcast number 66 of Indie Radio. Indie Radio is an indie game development talk show that airs bi-weekly on Saturdays at noon U.S. Central Time to help you keep up with the ever-evolving world of indie game development, debate about issues in the indie game scene, and to let you into the mind of some of the most interesting people behind the creation of indie games. I'm Brett Hudson, your host, broadcasting live from the Midwest United States. Today we have two guests from Parabox Games, the creators of Caveman Craig, Reese, and Tim Andrews. Would you like to say hi, guys?
Yeah, hi.
Hey, how you doing?
So yeah, as always, we have an IRC channel that you can communicate with us on. You can ask questions, just chat about stuff, share links, whatever you want. You know, just chat with us, have fun. We will be giving away two copies of Caveman Craig to lucky listeners today. So jump in the IRC if you want a chance to win. The IRC is available on the aftonet.org network on the channel Indie Function, INDIE function. Otherwise, if you're listening to this live on the radio page on the Indie Function website, the IRC channel is actually embedded into the page at the bottom. You just type in a username, click go, and you'll be in there. So you'll be able to, you know, win games and chat with us. Other than that, I think that's pretty much all, so we will jump into the news. Last time we brought up the Leapmotion 3D Jam, which is still going on right now. It's just started September 28th, so 2 days after our last broadcast, and it runs until, where's the date? November 9th, 2015. So if you want to check that out, I would definitely do so. Head over to leapmotion.com, and they got a link there for the Leapmotion 3D Jam, it's called. And what you do in this jam is you use the Leapmotion device to create augmented reality and virtual reality applications using the device. Have you guys heard of the Leapmotion?
Yes, but I haven't looked into it a whole lot.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. The device has two cameras, two sensors, I think. They're either cameras or sensors, and then three infrared lights that track your hands, and then your hands show up in the game, which is the coolest thing. I've actually got dev kit sitting next to me. It works really well. Even with poor lighting, it can still work pretty decent. And my device is a year old. So I'm sure they've improved it by now. So if you want to register, head over to leapmotion.com, and you can actually get them to reimburse your purchase fee if you develop a game for this. So if you buy one, submit a game, they'll send you the money back for the device, which is pretty sweet. Mm. Also in jams, there is the Pet-tastic GMC Jam 20. Happening later this month on October 24th. That's when it starts, and I'm guessing it runs till the 27th, maybe 26th or 27th. I don't know. Through the 26th. It's 72 hours. The GMC Jam happens on the Game Maker community. You can check it out at gmc.yoyogames.com. The theme has not been announced. They reveal a letter every couple of days, so people can guess what the theme is, and they also have a handicap, which is really neat, which, you know, makes it more interesting than just a basic theme.
So what makes it Pet-tastic?
I'm not entirely sure. It says somewhere here that
just
it's
the cute picture of the cat that they've got on there.
Yeah, it's a hype object.
Yeah, well.
Yeah, it says hype objects pets. So I'm not exactly sure what that means. I'm guessing you get bonus points if you have pets in there. It's like a sub-theme? Okay. I don't know.
Jams seem to have gotten really complicated since last time I've looked into them. You know, when it started, it was just, this is a theme, make a game. Whereas now there's all these, like, strange mechanics that I don't understand.
Yeah. And I think it's just because there's so many of them happening that it's just like, oh, we gotta be creative. We gotta have ours be unique, ours stand out.
Yeah, we need a cat with glowing eyes.
With a jar of jam.
Dubious looking jam, I think.
Yeah, that's like Halloween jam right there.
Yeah.
I wouldn't want to eat it. I suppose it's actually the yo-yo game's color is green, but yeah.
That makes sense, yeah.
Weird. But yeah, if you want to check that out, gmc.yoyogames.com. It's open to anybody that has a forum account, pretty much. You just got to sign up. And there are prizes available for people who win. Nal is offering his new game, Innocuous 5, to, it looks like, anybody that enters. Wow, that's really cool. So he's sending a copy to anybody that enters it, period. And you can also have the 160 font giga font pack, including commercial rights, if you didn't already get it from a past jam. That is awesome. Nal is a master of fonts, and he'll give you 160 fonts with commercial rights. That's really sweet. Other than that, I'm just looking through here to see if there's anything else that really sticks out. Sean S? Yeah, it's an S. Is giving away the top five games a copy of Another Perspective and the source code, which is pretty sweet. Which is also available in the Humble Bundle a couple weeks ago. Did you guys see that? The Humble Bundle with source code?
I saw the one with the Game Maker package.
Mm-hmm.
I'm guessing that's part of it.
Yep, that was it, yeah.
Yeah,
that was so cool. It was like 12 games plus the source code.
It crashed all their servers. The funny thing was, at the time, I was running a workshop on game development at a camp. And so it was our first, like, we're really, really tight. There's only five workshops, you know, over 3 days, and they have to make a game in that time, and they don't know, you know, like, their programming skills are, you know, either zero or, you know. So, yeah, and we tried to get the software running, and nobody could register. And so we actually had to use Game Maker 8, which was a blast from the past, but it wasn't a great way to sell Game Maker to them off the bat, but it was a bit frustrating. But, you know, it's good that they were able to get, you know, so many people.
Yeah, I still got a Game Maker 8 installer sitting around on my computer somewhere. I used to have the biggest grudge against post Game Maker 8 versions of the software for no reason, really.
I think there were good reasons, but I think they've really improved it over time. There was a bit of a bridge where Game Maker 8 was still much better than Studio in many ways, and we kind of held off moving everything over, but I think now there's enough reason to move on to Studio.
Yeah, for me it was mostly UI stuff, I think. I just like the UI and 8 better.
Yeah. Me too.
Alright. Next up is Handmade Con 2015 announcement. If you guys haven't heard of Handmade Hero yet, you need to check it out. Handmade Hero is this Twitch stream that happens daily in the evening in the U.S. I think it's 6 p.m. Pacific time, maybe? I'm not entirely sure, actually. But it's ran by Casey Muratori, who is a C++ guru. He's worked with some pretty big game development companies, and now he's an indie. He's also worked on Jonathan Blow's latest game, The Witness. And this guy is just chock full of so much information. And he decided to make a video series where he would basically take you from downloading an IDE to making a full commercial game without using any libraries, without using any engines, just writing everything from yourself. Like, lesson three, you write a pixel buffer, and he, like, explains it, and, like, it all makes sense. It is so amazing. I've made it through, I think, 3 weeks of the tutorials, which means that I'm at, like, 15 or 16 right now, and he's nearing 200, which is just insane. But it's a super great project, and he's also going to be on the show on November 21st, I think. So, anybody listening in that's a Casey Muratori fan, look forward to that. He's having Handmade Con in Seattle on December 5th. So, at the Seattle Public Library from 10 a.m. to 6 p.m., he's going to be talking to game developers that he respects and wants to learn from, basically. And he's going to ask them questions about their coding styles, what they like to do with game design, and just tons of questions to, you know, fill our brains with essential knowledge to being great game developers. It's going to be no PowerPoint presentations. It's literally going to be him sitting up there for 8 hours chatting with developers, which is going to be pretty cool. Right now, tickets are on sale for $35 until November 5th. After that, they go up to $45. And you can get more information on this at mollyrocket.com. That's M-O-L-L-Y. Wait, M-O-L-L-Y. Yeah, rocket.com. Next up is IndieCade 2015 official nominees. There are, I counted them this morning, and unless I'm one off, there are exactly 125 entries that are nominees this year. So that means 125 games, at the minimum, are going to be showcased this year at IndieCade, which is really cool. There's some really cool games that I've been waiting for a long time, like Scale, that are going to be shown there, Overland, Darknet. Classroom Aquatics is going to be there again. That was a really cool game. There's just tons and tons and tons of games. So if you guys are going to IndieCade this year, definitely look at the list. I suppose I should be putting links to all these topics in the IRC. But if you're listening to this in the archive, you've got the show topics right there on the page. But yeah, check those out. And then also, if you're going to be at IndieCade, you can run into us. I'll be there. I'm the guy that's around 5.5 feet. I'll have a badge. So feel free to say hi to me. I don't bite.
Good description.
Yep, great description.
The badge guy.
I'm the badge guy from Indie Function. Yeah, I don't know what I'm going to wear, so I really don't have any description. My hair's long. I put it up in a bun usually when I'm out and about. That's me. And that concludes our news. So for anybody just listening in, I'm just going to recap everything. We've got Reese and Tim Andrews on today from Parabox Games. They are the creators of Caveman Craig, which is an amazing game. We're going to be talking about it today. And then also we have an IRC channel that you can get to at the bottom of the indiefunction.com/radio page. Just type in your username, hit enter, jump in there, and chat with us, and you could win a copy of Caveman Craig on Steam.
Can we afford that, Reese? We can afford to give away two games?
Yeah.
I hope so.
We're hesitant, but...
Yeah,
no, <that's> all. We'll get two bots in the chat and just pretend it goes away.
Yes.
There we go. All right. So yeah, I don't know. Do you guys want to introduce yourselves? Kind of give a little background about Parabox Games and Caveman Craig.
Yeah,
sure.
That sounds
go
good.
Go for it, Reese.
All right. So Tim's my brother, and we've played games together since we were kids. So yeah, we kind of like some of the same stuff, and we've been making games as well since we were kids. Tim actually started working on Game Maker before I did, back in probably version 1, back in 99 or something like that.
Oh my goodness.
And yeah, I just used to just stare at the screen while he made all sorts of little Pac-Man games and stuff like that.
I basically copied the sort of template games that were there and chucked my own pictures in them. I mean, it was pretty limited back then anyway.
I'm going to change the speed from 4 to 5. Watch this.
And
let's drop it.
And then after a while, I sort of took over. I started using it a lot more than Tim did. Tim's more interested in the animation side of things, and slowly but surely learned how to program in Game Maker. Caveman Craig's been sort of, we've made a few little things in our time, but Caveman Craig's been our main project. We formed Parabox Games just so that we had a name that we could put next to the games, rather than having to introduce ourselves as Reese Andrews and Tim Andrews every time we said we had something to share. So, yeah, just came up with a cool name, and Yeah.
So the Caveman Craig itself has a pretty long history. So the original version of the game we created for Yo-Yo Games Competition. Do you know what year that was, Reese?
I think it was 2006 or 7
I'm
or 8.
I'm
going
to say 2009, actually. Maybe it was 2008, though.
I was still in school. I would have been in year 11, so I feel like it was late 2007, because I think 2008 was my graduating year.
Yeah, okay. You think it was.
I've tried to kill all those memories.
Yeah, okay. so we made the very first Caveman Craig within 30 days, because we came across that competition. And the theme was ancient civilizations, and we just kind of thought, I think we kind of thought maybe that was a sort of a boring theme to start with. And I mean, you know, we went with the caveman, sort of caveman theme, which wasn't really a common one. Most people were doing actual real, ancient Egypt type things. But yeah, we sort of smashed this game together within 30 days. And I think that original idea we had is what we've had to kind of stick to in the sort of current version of the game, where it's kind of a mix of a few different game styles. It's kind of Age of Empires, but you're one of the villagers, you know what I mean? But it's also sort of platform. So, that original version of the game, we probably had tens of thousands of downloads during that competition, and we got second place. But that was great. Like, you know, Reese was in school. I don't think I was working at the time. Where we had the time to do it, and we just sort of smashed this thing together. And then, yeah, of course, we thought, okay, well, let's make another version. We made a special edition version that had a few extra features, and we put it up for sale. So the original one was a freebie for the competition. I think we kind of, in some ways, missed the boat on... So with Caveman Craig 2, we thought, okay, this is... I guess by that point, I'd had a lot more animation experience. Mm-hmm. And we sort of had all these ideas for extra features to make a brand new Caveman Craig game. I think we may have missed the boat because if we'd made it a bit sooner... we still kind of had a bit of a following from that original game. We did. We pumped out Caveman Craig 2. It would have been... Do you know what year that was, Reese?
2012.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yep. So, I mean, it's a fair bit later. So, and then more recently, being approved for Steam, we kind of went, okay... You know, this could be a good opportunity. And that's when we sort of added more features and we fixed up a lot of things and sort of smoothed everything off. So that's kind of where it's up to. And we released it in August.
Yeah, very end of August.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so it's only been out for a couple months.
Yeah, that's right. Its current version anyway. So it does. It's had a pretty long history, and I would say that's due to the fact that we have normal, real, everyday jobs, and this is kind of a side thing. People need to buy our game so that we can make more. that's the crux of it.
I brought up the Caveman Craig page on the Yo-Yo Game Sandbox, because I was curious what some of these numbers were. And you guys published it April 20th, 420, 2008. So it was 2008. And then the thing that made me think of bringing the page up was that you were saying that you had tens of thousands, and I wanted that exact number. You guys had 85,000 plays on Yo-Yo Games.
There you go.
That is insane. For a downloadable title, that's amazing.
Yeah, yeah. And that, part of that was Yo-Yo Games, the way it was set up back then. It was like, if your game was popular or if it was good or people sort of enjoyed it, it would find its way to their front page.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it had some sort of colourful screenshots, and I think that kind of is what pulled people in. Yeah, so it did. It climbed quite rapidly at the time. I would have plateaued out by now. But yeah, 85,000, we were pretty happy with that.
The last comment we've had was 2 years ago on the game, so it's certainly plateaued.
Yeah, it's in Russian, so... That's you're right. Definitely got yes. a big audience.
But yeah, actually, we can completely forget about that version of the game, I think.
It's funny going back to it. Like, I haven't played the game, the original one, in months, but or years even. But it amazes me looking at the game to see how far, not only how far Tim and I have come in our game development, portfolio, but the way the game industry's changed as well. Like, this is such a, pun not intended, or maybe it is, a primitive game. But...
Good.
Thank you. It's such a primitive game, but it had a big following, and we had, I remember even Rock Paper Shotgun reviewed it, and back then it was obviously a smaller website, but like any game that came out back then was worthy of some attention.
Mm-hmm.
And everything's just exploded since then. And even though, you know, Caveman Craig 2 is, and Caveman Craig for Steam has just gone so far ahead from the original game, the following is you have to work for it a lot more. And it's just a real testament to how much the indie industry has changed over the years.
Yeah.
And part of that is how easy it is to get hold of, you know, software to do this stuff and the access to, you know, tutorials and whatever. I mean, and even from my point of view, being an animator, you can have, you know, a full animation studio set up in your home if you've got the cash to buy the right software. And that's it. Now people are sort of realizing how easy it is to create digitally. Yeah, everyone has access to it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then what you guys said a bit earlier about Yo-Yo Games with their homepage, I thought that was interesting, because I had that idea a while back, too, when Yo-Yo Games got their new website when they were releasing Studio, and they were ditching, you know, Sandbox. I thought that was so, so silly that they didn't have any featured games there for the longest time.
Yeah, we felt the same way.
Like, yeah, I remember writing quite a lengthy email to them. Actually, I had a bit of a an affiliation with some of the staff there, and I didn't understand it one bit. I was like, this is going really well, and there's just some sort of key things that you could change to make it so much better, because I knew there were a few frustrations with Sandbox as well, I guess looking back on it now, you can see a bit of sense behind the change.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, on the Sandbox, there was a lot of garbage on there.
Yeah.
But that stuff would very quickly, like I said before, you know, stuff that people actually liked would find its way to that front page.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the cream would rise to the top, you know.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. And, like, with the Sandbox, you saw that there was, like, a huge community.
Mm.
And it was inviting, but their new presence is more of a professional, like, hey, this is a real awesome, like, Unity competition game engine. So yeah, we don't want to showcase all the little games made by talented individuals. We want to show more of the bigger shot, you know, money put into it. Games.
It's interesting that they're kind of reintroducing the Sandbox now in the form of Game Maker Player.
Oh yeah.
And when they announced that, I was kind of frustrated again. I thought, why are you going back to that then? Like, why not just reinvigorate the Sandbox and
And isn't the player a client too? So you got to download it or something?
Possibly. You know, I haven't touched it possibly at a protest. I think so. I think it's like a wrapper for Game Maker games. But it's also just like a store similar to the marketplace, except it's for finished games that you can play. Mm. So I guess time will tell what their strategy is with that.
Yeah, because I mean, we already have Steam. I don't want to download another thing to play games on.
Yeah.
Yeah. So now you've got to say something nice about Yo-Yo Games.
Yeah, especially since Nal usually listens in. So.
Oh, look. Yeah, I probably should. Hey, no, I have a very invested interest in Yo-Yo Games and in Game Maker, and so I'm not that I have much of a voice, but I'm pretty vocal about what I do and don't like about Yo-Yo Games, and I think it's because I really love Game Maker. It's been part of my life for a very long time, and I don't want to, you know, I don't want to move over to something like Unity because there's a lot of soul in Game Maker, mm-hmm. So that's why I voice my frustrations. But at the same time, you know, in the past, you know, like case in point with the Sandbox, I've been frustrated, and then there's been a fruit to what they've done. So I'm not always right, and I'm the first to admit that. So there's a balance of trust and I guess just being a little honest about how I feel. But I think I trust where they're headed.
What word
I think in regards to I guess how far we've come over those years. I mean, that was a long time ago that first version was
7
put
years.
Out. Sorry, just adjusting some audio stuff here. I mean, for Reese, you know, even back then, he was pretty talented when it came to putting that game together. And I think the fact that he's stuck with Game Maker over the years, I've been pretty impressed with what Reese can do. And I think working on Caveman Craig, I would sort of like have an idea, oh, can you make it so that, you know, Craig does this or this, or, you know, when this gets hit by a rock, this happens or whatever. And sometimes the ideas I would have would be, would sound a little too difficult. And Reese would go, oh, yeah, that's easy. And, you know, he'd, you know, sometimes the most complicated things, Reese would go, oh, yeah, that's easy. And 5 minutes later, he's got it done. I mean, in saying that, sometimes the stuff that sounds really simple can be difficult, but yeah, one thing that I've been impressed with Reese's work is that he's really got into this program, into Game Maker, he's figured out all the ins and outs, and he's able to kind of make almost anything happen with it, which is great. And I guess for me, as far as that transition between, you know, that first game we made and the one now, when we made that original version, I was sort of a bit of a sort of self-taught kind of guy as far as animation goes. And since then, I've worked with some very talented Disney animators and, worked on a number of Disney cartoons. Probably never heard of them, but worked on a show called Kick Butowski, and also a recent show called Wander Over Yonder.
I have heard
2D animation. Sorry, what was that?
Oh, I've heard of the first show.
Kick Butowski.
I could never say it.
That's right, yeah. Yeah. Those were really, really good experiences working on those. Because it's 2D animation, but very sort of technical and very, just really kind of stretched my brain and taught me a lot. And so then working on Caveman Craig, the Tribes of Bogdrop, this current version, it was great starting from scratch because I could go, oh, I can do away with those old crappy animations that I've done before and do something a bit more substantial. I don't think there's another Caveman Craig game on the horizon, but if there was, I feel like again we could step it up as far as visually from my point of view. But in saying that, there's not really much you could add to another version of Caveman Craig. I think that original concept of controlling Craig and training those three different cavemen is the real essence of the game. Once you start sort of going too far away from that or adding way too many extra extra features, yeah, you lose that charm. But yeah, it's been really fun to work on.
Fantastic. And now we're just at like a spot where we should transition to something, but we don't quite know.
Yeah,
what
I might
yet.
I might just go to sleep.
yeah, it's like 3:30 a.m. over there for you guys.
Yeah, it's 4:30 a.m.
Oh yeah, because daylight savings. Oh my goodness. you guys are true troopers. Like, wow. And Tim, you've got a baby over there, right? Too?
Yeah. He's I'm a little bit worried that he might wake up, but no, he won't. He should be right. Yeah, he's one and a bit. He was born in June last year, so no, he's a good little sleeper at the moment. So hopefully, he doesn't wake up.
Perfect. So I'm assuming you're the older brother here, right?
Yeah, that's right. Yep. Yeah. So I turned the big 3-0 this year.
Ooh.
And then Reese is what, 6 years younger than me?
Yeah, 24.
All right.
I thought you were going to say 6 years.
He's 6 years old. So he's, yeah.
You know, I think it's so cool that you guys have such a great dynamic as brothers. Because, like, right now, my brother, we're about the same age difference part. We're 5 years apart, and he wants nothing to do with me. And it's just like, really?
Yeah. No, we've been blessed with a pretty good family.
Yeah. And we actually live in the same suburb, and we live like
a walking distance away from each other.
Yeah. So that's far away enough.
It's funny, I mean, we've always got so many ideas of games to do, and not just Tim and I, but independently as well. And every time I mean, I'm not an artist, so I've either got to come up with a game that doesn't rely on good art, which is quite difficult.
Mm-hmm.
Or I've got to go find an artist. Tim's pretty busy, so we kind of try to keep only the best ideas to for us. But every time I go and find another artist, I just think, we're we're not in the same family, so we're going to be thinking on different wavelengths. And yeah, I've got to step out a little bit, I think. But there's always, you know, there's always a communication. There's communication hurdles to jump over when you're working with somebody, and you just don't get as many of those when you're brothers because you kind of think pretty similar anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I think when we really need to discuss some things to do with the game, it's like, can you come over this afternoon? And the fact that we just live around the corner makes it a lot easier. I think in saying that, though, we also both have very different ideas. And recently I said to Reese, well, look, how about for our next games that we work on, we'll do a game that is your idea, and we'll do a game that's my idea. I don't know if we'll actually do that, but I think sometimes, you know, you get excited about an idea. Reese will get excited about a game idea, and I'll be thinking, yeah, because I'm already excited about a different one. And I think when you hit that spot where you're both like, oh yeah, this sounds good. That's when it'll work. We really hope we can sort of make more games, and we've kind of made a small mistake in promising people through our website that we're going to work on, like that we sort of have these games coming out. But you know, we get all enthusiastic about it, and then another idea pops up, or we just don't have the time for it.
Another idea pops up. That never happens to indies. Oh, but this project is going to be way better than the last.
Yeah, that's right.
It's so difficult to hone in on an idea and go, yeah, this is the one we're going to commit to, because it's such a massive undertaking to make a game.
Mm-hmm.
You know, unless you're already established as a studio, whether you've, you know, risked a lot of money and time to do that, or whether, you know, you've actually made some good games and you've got a bit of income, you know, it's a bit easier then because you've got 8 hours a day and you're like, okay, well, let's make two games or whatever. But with Tim and I, time is quite precious, And so we're like, okay, well, if we're going to commit to a game, we have to know that it's going to be worthwhile. And you kind of get stuck in analysis paralysis with that.
Yeah, maybe I need to start training my one-year-old to help with this game development.
Just teach your kid how to cook, and then you don't have to worry about meals and deliver food to you.
It's going to make you a sandwich every day.
That's a good start. Yeah, making a sandwich is a bit easier than making a game, I suppose.
Yeah, that's right. It's the same. They both got layers. There's ugly sandwiches. There's beautiful sandwiches. Same with games.
Mm.
I saw a video just yesterday of a guy who makes a sandwich from scratch, but like literally from scratch. So it took him 6 months, and it cost him $1,500. and he actually goes and finds a chicken and kills it and makes it, you know, cooks a chicken, and he makes bread from scratch using, you know, growing wheat. And he
I love that.
He gets to the end and he takes a bite out of it and he's like, yeah, it's okay. Nice. And he's like, you know, 6 months, they're not bad, you know.
So. I wanted to do something like that when I think I was like 12 or 13, and I was like, it would be so cool making a computer from scratch, like mining the materials and then like putting them through a machine.
It's called Minecraft. You just need to mine redstone and do whatever you like. Yeah.
And now, here, like, sitting in modern day, it's like, why would I ever want to spend all that time doing it? Yeah, I'd learn a lot, but holy crap, that's a lot of time.
Yeah.
And money.
I remember making a computer out of cardboard. It was just sort of a box with a keyboard drawn on it and another box for the screen, and then I just had these cardboard, like, puppet-type things in there. It was...
Remember that.
Yeah. I tried not to throw it out, but yeah, eventually it found its way.
Did it have Tim Basic programming language?
Yeah, something like that. And I mean, it was pre eBay, so I couldn't even sell it when I was finished with it.
All right, let's go check up in the chat. All right,
not a whole lot.
Quiet.
Somebody said Craig. I don't know what that means.
Well, let's elaborate.
Yeah.
No, sorry, go.
I was just going to say, giving away these copies of Caveman Craig, I was just trying to think of, you know, how to determine who to give the copies to. So I was hoping that people could ask some weird questions or tell us a funny joke, and if we laugh, then maybe we'll give you a copy. But it depends how active our participants are.
Yeah, it's pretty quiet today. What is going on? Yeah, let's tweet about this. We're giving away copies of Caveman Craig.
Hey, we've got a question. A legit question.
Huh?
We've got one.
All right.
Sometimes we feel like answering Caveman Craig.
All right. Whew. Yeah,
there's probably a notepad, a text file somewhere that where we typed every time. Cancel.
Yeah. I can't think of any time ever like, are we really going to do this or not? I think the first game was obviously done in 30 days, so there wasn't really any opportunity for us to. We just went for it. I think I remember one night we were just talking about it heaps, and then we just. Came up with a bit of an idea, and we said, okay, we've either got to do it or not. When you've only got 30 days, because it was actually because we entered the competition so late, or we came across the competition so late. It was just a real challenge for us. There was no real, with the original, there was no doubt throughout the development. But there was certainly some lulls throughout making the second game. That's why it took us 4 years compared to the 30 days the original one took. And I think I'll answer that one in a minute. I don't know if we ever had a serious conversation and went, are we going to cancel the game or not? But there was always times where we just hadn't worked on it for weeks, maybe even months. And we're just like, so when are we going to pick up the game again? When are we going to keep working on it. I think when you don't have a studio and you don't have an allocated amount of time per week where you go, this is game development time, you know, other things in life get in the way. And I think we're mostly okay with that. I think we're okay with game development being a hobby, just being something that we work on when we feel like it. We know there's a lot of issues with that too, but yeah, I think there was never a time when we thought, okay, well, progress is slow, so let's just not do it. It was always, you know, progress is slow, but we'll get there eventually. I don't know if Tim has a different angle on that, but...
Oh, that's probably pretty much it. Yeah.
And
I think there were definitely times where it's like, do we still want to finish this thing? You know, I think we kind of, you know, for our next game, I want to do something so much simpler because we just wanted to keep adding features.
Feature creep.
Yeah. So, and then that just obviously means more work.
Yeah.
Mm.
But there is, Reese, there is another good question there.
Yeah. Where is the single cave woman? There's not just one.
Are they referring to the game or real life here?
Yeah, you need to elaborate.
Where are all the single cave women?
I think they're not yet.
Both. Okay, both. extinct. And... have we got a funny answer for this, Reese?
No,
no, they are women.
Yeah, that's the official answer.
Yeah.
You know, if you want to call us sexist, then go right ahead. But I think if you deny the possibility that women can be bald, then that's sexist.
And
so
have beards and
that's right, and sound like men in every other way. Yeah. So yeah.
Mm.
So they're everywhere. You just have to know the difference.
Yeah, my caveman Grub was actually a cave woman.
Yeah.
pretty good looking.
I think in regards to the humor of the game, and this is something, again, we quickly kind of forgot just the title itself. You know, Craig just being sort of just a common... everyday 21st century name. It could easily be, you know, caveman Krug, you know, or Grug or whatever. What was the name of your caveman? and the other enemies, there's Sasquatch Steve, Jurassic John, Prehistoric Peter, just using sort of today's names. Yeah, sort of gives it that little edge. And also I think we had a bit of fun with the tutorial guy. Reese in particular sort of wrote a lot of comical dialogue for him. Just like having little farts and burps and stuff in the game is also good fun.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's a lot of small little touches that's just... they're there and they make you giggle. I love it.
I think that was the positive thing about us adding heaps of features, is that it's a very erratic game, both in terms of its humour and its mechanics. We're just like, hey, this is funny, let's chuck that in there. And that was awesome. Yeah. That's also, having all that time to make the game has also just allowed us to just chuck in fun stuff.
Like Barno the dinosaur.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, so if you... one of the achievements... there's a few cheats in the game, I'm not a fan of those cheats that just make the game easier, because that's kind of boring. Mm-hmm. So we just added cheats that were just dumb and fun. There's one, Barno the dinosaur. It's like a Barney the dinosaur ripoff.
What?
And, I mean, it's just...
that was never intended.
A completely original character that we came up with called Barno the dinosaur.
What color
and
is it?
And you throw rocks at him and he explodes. So that's one of the cheats. there's a few other ones, but you know, get the game and check them out. And
the walrus is definitely my favourite.
Oh, yeah.
A big walrus that you just put him on the ground somewhere, and if an enemy walks nearby, he explodes. I think explosions are good.
I think when we ran out of ideas,
it was just have like, things that explode.
Yeah, that's it. We had a picture of a walrus, and we're like, we need to do something with this. Let's just make it explode. Yeah. People walk near him.
The other thing that we haven't really talked about for this game is the music. And I think that the music is so good. Again, like, in some ways it adds to the humour of it that we've got this very... it's a very simple... You know, it's 2D, it's sort of cartoon game, but it has this really epic film score, you know? And it gives you goosebumps. And all they are these little sort of cartoon cavemen running around. I think it just adds another level. You're having these... In the recent version, we've got this battle music that starts whenever you kick into battle with somebody, and it's mm-hmm. like... It just makes it so much more epic than it really is. It's actually tricking people into thinking this is the biggest battle, in history.
It's like an intentional sense of self-importance.
That's right.
We just tried to make the game so epic, but also knowing that it's just a bunch of guys farting and throwing rocks at each other.
That's right. Yeah.
Well, they also beat each other with bats. You got to give them some credit.
Yeah.
That's true. And pick berries and things like that.
Yeah. I mean, that was an intense life back then. Dinosaurs attacking you every day.
There's another question here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A serious one.
Serious.
Any console ports on the way?
We talked about that a little bit before the show, actually.
We did talk about it a little bit. I think with console ports as well, particularly Xbox and PlayStation, you're at the mercy of their licensing schemes and things like that. Haven't looked into it a whole lot because I think it would be a massive undertaking for two people. We would love to do it, but I think we've got to do. There's a lot of similar sort of questions on where Caveman Craig could go. Things like, are you gonna make it online so you can actually fight each other over the net? Are you gonna make a tablet version and all those sorts of things? And obviously, all of them are exciting ideas, and we'd love to do those things. But we have to sort of pick and choose carefully.
It would become a slightly different game as well. At the moment, it's very much a mouse and keyboard kind of game.
Mm. Yeah, that's right. I think too, the age of the game being, parts of the game are 3 years old. A lot of it's been refreshed this year as well. There'll be a point where it'll show its age, and we need to kind of make sure that we can move on. And come up with a fresh idea so that we're not just the guys who made Caveman Craig, but we're the guys who make various games.
Yeah.
You guys also worked on Tiki Tori, was it? Or no?
That'll do. Yeah, Teka Teki.
Teki Teki, there we go.
Yeah. That was actually just me and a guy named Greg Vanderbeek. He did some of the art for Caveman Craig, actually, as well. He did the cave and some of the background art. Actually, most of the background art. He and I worked on that one. And that was actually one of the first games that was released on... from Yo-Yo Games that was released on iPhone. There was a period of time when... before Studio came out where... They were offering a service where you would propose your game to them, and they obviously had the tools to port it to iPhone and stuff like that, and they would kind of be the publishers. It was kind of short lived. After a little while, they were like, "Well, actually, why don't we actually release Game Maker with that functionality implemented?" They released Teka Teki on iPhone years and years and years ago. Just a little bit like Tetris. I think it's a game called Baku Baku, on Sega Genesis or something like that. That we took some, I took some inspiration from, where you just have some tiles of food and some tiles of animals, and you kind of want to bunch all the food tiles together, and then the animal tile will just eat, you know, that whole section of tiles. So the more you can group them together, the more combo points you get. Really simple. It didn't...
Reese is in denial that it was basically just Tetris with extra features.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. I remember it was one of the first games that I actually got on my Android when I got it. So I was like, oh my gosh, there's Yo-Yo Games out on Android. I gotta get them all.
The funny thing with that is that with that game, what was the story behind the Facebook page for it, Reese?
Yeah, I was thinking of that. We created a Facebook page for it, and I think because Teka Teki is like Indonesian for puzzle or something like that, so we just got heaps of people liking our page. Like, we have like 6,000 likes on our
Teka Teki. Oh yeah, I like puzzles. Like,
yeah, compared to, you know, the 250 that Cave and Craig have. And everybody, like, people post on that page, but it's all in Indonesian, so I have no idea what they're saying.
5,600 people like it.
Wait, how many?
It's about 6,000.
Whoa.
Yeah, but I don't think any of them have liked the page because of the game. I think they've liked it because they like puzzles. So, there's a language barrier there. But the thing is, they still... They like our posts as well, that we put up there on the odd occasion that we do that. So mm-hmm. I have no idea. It's kind of funny what does yield a good response and what doesn't. It's very unexpected. You know, we sort of on a related note, we found that there's quite a big Russian following with Caveman Craig, there's. Of all the Let's Plays on YouTube, most of the Let's Plays are in Russian, and, you know, I don't know why. I think that's awesome, but it's just funny. Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's funny because we've got this Facebook page, and this Teka Teki one, and I'm like, oh, put a link to Caveman Craig, and we'll get 5,000 sales. But unfortunately, it doesn't work that way.
Yeah, no, yeah. There's the conversion rate, and then
there's
that and this, and the numbers at the end of the day aren't nearly accurate.
Yeah,
but I'm sure you still got a couple though. Yeah, I think you can track that stuff through Facebook, can't you? Like people clicking on the link and stuff.
Yeah, and we've got all sorts of stuff set up, like Google. Analytics and and Steam has a lot of tools around that as well, obviously. So it's very interesting. We found from both, you know, the Steam release and Discura, you know, when we released Caveman Craig 2 all these years ago, that we actually get quite a high conversion rate compared to a lot of the, you know, what would be considered the standard. And we also get a generally positive response on the game as well. So it's not so much that we, you know, that people aren't interested in the game. I think it's more that, you know, the thing that the obstacle for us is actually getting it out there and getting the exposure. It's very tricky to, it's tricky to do marketing when you're just two guys who want to make games.
I think part of the issue is and I think this is the case for a lot of creative people, is you create something and in your mind you think, this is great. Why wouldn't anybody want to download this? And then when you see just how few people actually do respond, I guess it can be disheartening, but it's also kind of reality. You think, how much does it actually take to convince someone to purchase something? And you think, how many times do I see an indie game and go, that looks cool, I might just buy that, without knowing something about it beforehand? I mean, that's all marketing, and something that we're not, we don't have a lot of skills and experience in. But you do, like I was talking to a friend recently who does kids music, and he released a CD, and he would go and do a big gig, and he's thinking, "Come on, people, come and buy the CD. You know, you enjoyed it." And he said, "But people just don't." And he said, even to the point where a lady came up and said to him, "Wow, that was so good. My kids loved it. Oh, they, you know, that was fantastic. They got such a kick out of today." And he's just thinking, "Is this lady going to buy a CD or what?" Like, and she didn't. she didn't buy anything. And and yeah, that's just that's reality.
Wow. Wow. I don't What's even know what to on? Say to that. She's wow. Yeah, I'm speechless. Let's go check out the chat. All right. Yep. Nintendo's pretty indie friendly. Oh yeah. Yeah. So, like, you guys said that you'd be focusing on PlayStation and Xbox, right?
Say it again. Sorry.
Oh, you guys said that you would probably focus with Xbox and PlayStation.
Sort of. I think we'd focus on that traditional console, you know, controller style game. I think the moment you kind of look at all those new technologies, you know, the VR and and even the stuff we're looking at before the whatchamacallit? Just trying to find it. 3D the leg motion. Yeah, all that stuff.
Oh yeah.
Peripheral. I think. Yeah, I think you would need to make a new game, a fresh game from that. I think we're really pushing it to try and put Caveman Craig in, you know, virtual reality or something like that. You know, it makes more sense to just come up with something fresh that's more suited to that platform. I think too, like, you know, I've seen games on iPads that are just like someone's had a game that was pretty cool on a PC or a Mac, and then they've just tried to cram it on an iPad app. And it's just crap, and just like, well, it's just a waste of time to port a game to something that, you know, wasn't originally designed with those sort of input devices in mind.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so that's why I'm kind of saying, when I say Xbox, PlayStation, I kind of mean, you know, the consoles that can support that traditional method of just using a controller. So yeah,
and if you go the other direction, like a iPad app or something. I mean, if you think about Caveman Craig, if we were to sort of make a iPad version, it would have to be very different, because really you need to have a game that can operate on two or three buttons. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Not to say that that's not doable. It just has to be very different.
Yeah. I'm trying to think. Because there are ways that you could somehow still have the same depth, just less controls.
That's right.
Yeah. Oh, but then attacking. Yeah, attacking is two different things right there. I was just thinking about gathering and stuff, but yeah, no attacking.
Yep.
Yeah. There's a lot there. But like with a Wii U gamepad or something like that, there could be an interesting, like, the way that the second screen would allow for extra UI stuff could be cool.
Yeah.
That's where you could purchase your caveman.
Yeah, that's right. Them.
But yeah, I don't know. Just throwing out my 2 cents. You just got a link in there for Wii U developers.
Yeah. Yeah. No, that's cool. I'm going to check that out. It was on my list, just to kind of, in the past sort of few months, you know, I've been looking at sort of app development. I worked on something with Tim, for his work, and just kind of getting that, getting my head around all that sort of stuff and all the, you know, developer licensing and things like that. And it's, I kind of just need to do one step at a time, but as I've kind of got my head around those things, I think consoles are the next thing to look at, and sort of look at the processes for that. Yeah.
All right. All right. Let's check into Twitter quick. Make sure we didn't get any notifications from there. Nope. All right. Okay. I think we've only gotten tweets once before. What?
I was just going to say, I reckon we should give a copy to the weird Nate, assuming he hasn't already got a copy.
Yeah, for sure.
Assuming it's a he.
Yep.
Sorry. but he's asked for a single cave woman, so that. Yeah.
Yes, of course. So the weird Nate, does that mean like that? Nate, as in N8, like. Are we a Nathan or a Nathaniel or a...
Yeah, it is a Nathan, so it is the weird Nate. It took me years to figure that out.
The weird Nate, yeah, there it is. So, I mean, they're pretty much running the show today.
Yep.
That's good.
All right, yeah, no, I'll send over the key. Let's...
So Reese, how do we convince listeners to... to buy our game? What are we telling people?
you guys didn't have this planned out beforehand? You guys didn't rehearse this for hours?
Yeah, that's right.
We've been up all night trying to work it out.
Yeah. How do we sell this game?
Look, the thing with Caveman Craig, when you look at sort of the other indie games out there at the moment, it's, you know, I mean, everyone's going to say this about the game, but it's a little different, and it's different in the sense that there's actually a lot of harking back to old games as well. Mm-hmm. So we were really inspired by stuff like Age of Empires and Worms, Armageddon, and what was the other one that I always quote?
Theme Hospital.
Theme Hospital. And
it's a little bit of Theme Hospital in there, but those were the sort of games we played when we were, you know, in school.
Yeah. And so that's really what drove us to come up with our ideas. It's a strategy game, there's a lot of content in there. There's very much the basic idea of you get your units and you demonstrate the skills to them so that they know what they're doing, and that's how you build up your tribe. But the exciting thing is after that, as you go through the game, you unlock all sorts of things. You know, we talked earlier about all the features we wanted to add in there. It got to a point where we really enjoyed and really built on the aspect of the game of just a lot of content to discover. So there's a lot of things you can unlock. We actually found, you know, we looked through the statistics of achievements that have been unlocked, and interestingly enough, there are a few that we thought would be quite easy to unlock that very few people have unlocked. In a way, that's a really cool thing. We like just kind of seeing how the game organically, how the game is organically developed and just getting feedback. It's everyone seems to get a different experience with the game. Depending on the way they play.
Yeah. I've been really sort of curious about the Lego Dimensions game that came out recently. I was watching some videos to kind of get an idea of what it's all about. And I think it was kind of, from what I've seen, it looked like there's just so much just trying to, you know, use this character who can access this so that you can find some more coins. Like, and you bash as many things as you can to get coins to come out. And I thought most of the game was collecting these coins, which from watching the videos, I didn't even know what their function was. But I think that, a lot of games kind of have this, I'll try and find, there's five of these things in this level. You know, you've got to kind of search a bit deeper to find it. And personally, I find that a bit annoying. I guess the idea is for replay value. You know, that if you finish the game, go back again and play it again, but this time collect all of the whatever. I think we thought with Caveman Craig, you could probably sit down and really sort of finish the game in a few sittings. But I think having extra things that you can find that aren't just there because they're there, but that actually give you, like, actually unlock really cool things. Like, you know, we're talking about things that explode before, you know, the walrus and everything. You've got to go back and play the game, play the levels again to unlock that stuff. But it's actually worthwhile. So I think that for a game that may appear to be quite small, it does. It has a lot of depth, and there's a lot of replay. And also the nature of the way the AI works and stuff. You can play the same level twice and have a completely different sort of adventure each time, a different story. And you might actually find it more difficult one time and a bit easier the other. So that's what I would say to people who are maybe considering buying it, is that it's actually quite addictive, there's a lot of play time in there if you get into it.
Yeah, there's a big simulation aspect to it as well, and that's why every time you play the same level, you get something very different. And I wasn't really afraid to admit that, you know, sometimes you'll play a level and it's really easy, and other times it's really difficult. And I just think that's not really a big deal, because the big thing is having that experience out of playing and going, oh, I played this level, and when I got to the enemy, I could tell that he'd been, like, everyone had been destroyed by a pack of raptors or something like that. And it's funny, like, the little stories we got out of it. When we did our alpha and our beta testing, we had a group of friends over, and we just played throughout the you know, a whole day, and everybody played differently, and everybody had different experiences, and it was really cool. When you watch, there's a Let's Play on YouTube of me and a mate playing the game, and there was just some cool things that happened. You know, we were taking down one of the checkpoints. We were just about to win the whole game after a few very difficult battles, and then the enemy just randomly decides to buy some reinforcements, and they just, like, almost completely wipe us out. It's just exciting. Like, that hadn't happened. Even as a developer, I'd play that and gone, wow, that was pretty smart of the enemy. And
I think the other thing is, from watching other people play and the different ways they play, sometimes people don't actually want to finish the level. That's one thing I've noticed, is they're like, no, I want to keep building this tribe that I have. So again, that's another sort of element of the game.
Yeah, during beta testing, I actually got the game to slow down. I had so many cavemen at one point. and then it crashed, and then my computer died. So I wasn't able to send you guys, like, the error code or anything, and I was like, oh, really?
I remember at one point saying to Reese, oh, there needs to be a population limit of these cavemen. We sort of never really considered doing that, because that's part of the fun, is just keep building up that tribe.
I wanted to make it so that if a player wanted to try and break the game, they could, if they were smart enough to find a way to do something ridiculous, then they should be able to. I remember one playthrough, a friend got there's a reward that you can get that's just a pet dinosaur, and if you manage to get a male one and a female one, then every, you know, 5 minutes or so, the female lays an egg, and then has a pet dinosaur, and that grows up. And the pet dinosaurs, all they do is they jump and latch onto anything that can be killed. He managed to get the growth rate such that every, like, 3 seconds you'd hear this hatch sound, if not, like, every half second. Like, there was just, the entire terrain was just a flood of pet dinosaurs, and the game didn't slow down, which was impressive, but it got to the point where there were T-Rexes, and the moment it would appear, there'd be like 1,000 pet dinosaurs would jump on this T-Rex, and it would just collapse, like, instantly. And I just thought, you know what, some people would say that that's broken, but I was happy to put it in there. I think that's part of the experience, and I'm happy for people to find ways to do interesting things like that.
You gave them the tools to to give birth to 1,000 dinosaurs so they can take out T-Rexes in record time.
Yeah. Takes a bit of time, but, you know.
It's amazing.
That's funny because every time I've played the game, I haven't bothered with those little pet dinosaurs. And again, but somebody else might go, those are important. I need those to win this level. So, yeah, people do have... People play the game very differently. It's very versatile in that way.
Oh, we've got a new IRC-er. Hey, Barry.
Welcome.
Ask us an interesting question and we'll give you a copy of the game.
Yeah, let's do it. Yeah, I like say hi out loud as if he's going to just magically appear on the Skype call.
Yeah.
He's getting a lot of attention.
Yeah. The pressure's too much. It's just quits.
Yeah.
This is not what he was expecting.
So he said that he's not good at questions. That's fair enough. But if you put a question mark on the end of that sentence, you know, that could have qualified.
You won a copy of Cape and Craig. Congratulations.
I'm not good at questions. I don't know. Are you?
That's very philosophical. Very profound. You deserve a copy.
Yeah, that's right.
To be good or not to be good at questions. I don't know.
So Reese, if people kind of are listening to this not live later on, if people do have questions or they want to find out more about the game, do we just send them straight to cavemancraig.com?
Yeah, look, we've got a contact form on our website, which is cavemancraig.com or paraboxgames.com. Or if you've got Steam and you want to discuss it on the community hub, then I'm always looking at that as well. I'm pretty active. I'm pretty... I'm around the place, so always happy to answer those questions.
Yep. And if you are listening to this in the archive, if you click on the show topics link on the page, there'll be a pop-up, and it'll have links to their assorted profiles. Each of their Twitters, the Parabox Games website, Parabox Game Twitter, Caveman Craig link, you name it. It'll all be there, just easily accessible. So don't fret. You don't need to Google or rewind it to try to figure out what the name of anything is. So you'll be able to find it pretty easily. All right. So we are currently at 1:15. So this is usually where we start wrapping up the show. So if anybody does want to ask any last questions, if anybody's been listening in and just hasn't jumped in the IRC for whatever reason, feel free, jump in. And we actually just got somebody.
Oh, this is our music man.
Ricardo Garcia?
Yeah.
That's it.
Nice. Welcome here. Do you wanna win a copy of the game that you did music for?
Yeah. Actually, on that note, I've been chatting with Ricky about releasing the soundtrack, we're just finalizing a few details on that. But we're looking at including the soundtrack, which goes for about 30 minutes, I think, into the Steam package. So look out for that. Nice. It's pretty epic.
Yeah, Ricardo, do you want to share a link to where we can find some more of your music too? Be happy to share it around on the page. Let's get the whole dev team here.
Just need to find Greg. But other than that, that's all of us. All
right. So I guess before we wrap up, there is something that I was wondering before we did the show. Like, it was one of the first questions that I even like formulated because I was curious. What are your guys' jobs? Because I knew that you guys didn't do this full time. So what do you do outside of the game dev?
Tim first.
Huh?
Sure, I'll go first. I work for a media company and Yeah, so I did a lot of video editing and actually a fair bit of 2D animation as well, which is good. I do a lot of work on the side, so sort of freelance stuff.
Okay.
Yeah, like I said before, my background experience in animating for kids TV shows, that's really my passion. That's really what I enjoy. And of course, those skills and passions translate very well into game development. What else do I do? I do a lot of little things, but yeah, it all kind of revolves around that. Oh yeah, so me and another brother, we sell subscription boxes. Here in Australia, called Brick Pack, we've done that since March. And so my other brother Gareth, he's a bit of a sort of Lego buy and sell legend, he sells sort of rare minifigures and Lego sets and such. And I said, let's do a loot crate style thing. So yeah, we've been doing that since March, and we've got a healthy amount of subscribers for that, and we send out a box of Lego and brick-themed goodies every month. We're actually just about to send our October one on Monday. If that's something that interests you, if you're in Australia, the website is brickpack.com, and it's pack, P-A-K. I think we're the only one of its kind in Australia. I know there's two or three in the United States. That's been a bit of fun, and I've been able to do a bit of design work in that, and also just tedious box packing, which is actually kind of a bit fun when it's Lego toys. So that's another little thing that I do.
Sweet.
Yeah. And for me, I work full time at a Christian school. I'm the IT administrator there. So, everything IT related I'm in charge of. So, from the tech support stuff to the server management and network management. So, I've been doing that basically since straight out of school. So, about 7 years. Really love it. So, that's my full-time job. Like Tim, I kind of like to have lots of little projects going on the side. So currently my big plan is to take my music more seriously, composing music and playing guitar and stuff like that. So that's my current focus. I used to do web design and graphic design and stuff like that as well, but I've since shelved that. So music and IT administration and game design.
Sweet. You sent me over a couple of files. We should play one and then head to the credits. Which one do you recommend? DC, DP, or OSI?
Yeah. Sorry, the track titles aren't very imaginative. I was hoping you'd have heard it and gone, this one's too awkward to put on. No, it's not really. I would do. Do you want something energetic or a little more acoustic and not energetic?
Are we talking Caveman Craig soundtrack here?
No. This is my own stuff. This is just as a disclaimer. This is rough demo stuff, but it's it's my next project. I'd play either DP or DC.
Okay.
Take a stab in the dark and just pick one.
I'm going to go with DC. Because alphabetical.
Okay, that's pretty energetic.
That was fantastic.
I'm glad you enjoyed.
Like, right there, boss battle music.
Yeah.
Like
that's how my style of music sounds when it's MIDI or sequenced. It just sounds like video game music. But eventually there's going to be real instruments playing that stuff.
I think after that I'm not going to be able to go back to sleep. 5:30 a.m.
Oops. Yeah. Yeah, no, what I was thinking when I was listening to that was like I totally just envisioned a Final Fantasy VII boss battle right there. Nah. Cloud slashing some enemy.
Yeah. Yeah, some epic brass synth in that.
Sweet. All right, so that was our interview with Reese and Tim Andrews. Thanks for coming on, guys.
Thanks so much for having us.
Yeah, yeah, and, it's been good fun.
If you guys want to stick around for a minute after the show, feel free to. Or otherwise, we're going to wrap it up. Thanks for everybody that listened in. We are also giving away another copy or two in a giveaway that we're going to launch sometime this week. We might launch it right after the show. We might launch it on Monday. We'll tweet it, so head over to Twitter and keep an eye out for it. And you can win a copy of Caveman Craig.
Thank you for listening in to broadcast number 66 of Indie Radio. Indie Radio is broadcasted live with 1,000 mics and recorded using Audacity. Our next show will be on October 24th, live from IndieCade. Thank you again for listening, and have a fantastic weekend.